We are going to be reading Pain and Purification, which is on page 87 of the Teachings of Inner Ramana. And it's a pretty good message. It's a little long, so it's quite good that we're getting started right away. And I don't remember why I asked this question. I bet you I had a good reason asking, what is pain? Because I noticed I started. But I don't remember at all what caused me to ask the question. But let's look at the answer. So what is pain? And the inner teacher said, pain is nothing. When you ask the question, what is pain? You ask as if the answer is, it is something. And you ask as if I can give you a special formula that will help you to permanently avoid this something you do not like. Then I cannot give you a formula that will help you avoid something if that something is nothing. I can only ask you to trust me when I tell you it is nothing. And I do think that when I asked the question, what is pain, I don't think I was thinking about physical pain. I think I was thinking about emotional pain, but I suppose we'll find out as we go through this message. So here I go again, questioner. I feel what you are saying as you say it, and I can even feel the edge of realization that teaches pain is nothing, but I feel I need more. Please talk to me about pain and the practice of purification and how all of this fits with your teachings. Maybe one thing that's interesting about this paragraph is, even though I appear to be a questioner questioning a teacher, I'm questioning an inner teacher. And when the inner teacher would speak, it's more than like listening to an external teacher. When an external teacher speaks, really all you have are the words and however your mind interprets those words. But when the internal teacher speaks, there's a clarity that's beyond the words. And that's what's really nice about taking time to be with your inner teacher, because the clarity is direct. And that's why I'm able to say here, I feel what you are saying, right, as you say it. But then it was quickly lost afterwards. I wasn't ready to hold on to it, but there's a clarity that comes when you listen to an inner teacher that exceeds an outer teacher. The inner teacher says, purification seems necessary as long as you are identified with the false I. For as long as you think you are it, you will also think that you are experiencing pain. But the key words in the previous sentence are think and you. So let's imagine that, because I just don't remember the situation at all. So let's imagine that a bunch of people are online talking about me, and of course I can read it because it's online, and they're talking about, you know, what a fake I am. I mean, this happened another time. I don't think it was happening here, but we'll use this story. What a fake I am, and how all I'm after is money and fame and all of this, and I'm, let's imagine I'm suffering over this. I'm really worried about what people think of me, and it's not true, and I'm feeling like a victim. But what the inner teacher is saying is, the only reason I'm suffering in the way that I am is because I'm identified with the false I. Another way of saying that is, I'm identified with the mind. So when the mind is saying, that's not true, they're making up stories about me, I'm sincere and they don't see it, oh my gosh, everybody's going to believe them. That's all just thought, right? And what's happening is I'm believing all of that thought. And so because I'm believing all of that thought, I'm having an emotional experience and I'm suffering. If I wasn't attached to that thought, if I wasn't believing those thoughts, I would not have an emotional experience and I would not suffer. So emotional pain comes from believing that the thinking mind is what I am. That's where emotional pain comes from. The top of the next page. Who is this you that experiences pain? Isn't it also the one who thinks? Isn't it also the mind that defines and separates? is this mind what you are? And if not, then is it true that you are experiencing pain? Now, these questions are really good questions, and what I would recommend to anyone when they seem to be experiencing emotional pain is that they take these questions very, very, very slowly and actually look. The first question is, who is this you that experiences the pain? You know, sometimes people say, oh, I feel it in my body. But if you really, 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 really look, you can't separate worry from the mind. You can't separate guilt from the mind. You can't separate fear from the mind. And if you look very, very, very closely, you're going to notice that it's very connected to the mind. You can't separate depression from the mind. And when you look very closely, you'll notice that it's the mind. So who is this you that experiences pain? It's the mind. Isn't it also the one who thinks? Yes. Isn't it also the mind that defines and separates? Well, probably you can look at whatever story you're suffering from at the time. Right now I was using the made-up story of people talking bad about me online. But just look at that idea. People who are not me talking bad about me online, there's separation. They are being unfair to me. There's judgment and separation. You know, all of that is in these thoughts, right? So yes, it's most definitely the mind that defines and separates. Is that mind what you are? Now this takes very, very subtle, careful looking. One thing I can do, I'm looking at all of this stuff going on in the mind. I'm noticing that the mind is really the cause of the suffering, and in fact, it's even the mind that is suffering. But then I could ask, who sees this? Who sees this suffering? Who sees this mind? And I might get that sense that I am actually the awareness, the witness, the one watching the suffering of the mind rather than the suffering itself. And then I would say, no. No, this mind is not what I am. And then the next question, if not, then is it true that you are experiencing pain? No, it's not true that I'm experiencing pain. The mind is suffering. And if I think we've talked about this before, attention is really just awareness. But attention is like the projection mechanism of awareness. If I take awareness and project it as attention into those thoughts, then I appear to be suffering. But if I keep attention back and relaxed into general awareness, it is clear that awareness never suffers. Right? It's absolutely clear. So, no, it's not true that I'm experiencing pain. That takes us to the next sentence. You see, the placement of your identity is more important than you may have previously thought it was. It's more important and more profound. If you place your identity with the false identity, I, in the thinking mind, then you experience everything it thinks up to prove that it exists. You are fully invested in it, and you fully experience all of its experiences. But this does not change the fact that you are not it, and it and the experiences that come from it are fully and perfectly illusion. Another really good example of how we project our attention into the mind and then we experience the mind is the example of going to the movies or watching, you know, a TV show. We project our attention into the movie screen or the TV screen, and we experience what's going on the movie screen. If, you know, if there's two lovers and one of them is dying, we're sitting back here with tears rolling down our face, right? We're feeling that sadness. Is that us? No, of course that's not us, right? So when we project our attention into a story, we experience that story as if it is us. And that's the same thing for when we project our attention into the story of the mind. If we project our attention to the story of the mind, we experience it, right? But it's not who we are. It's not true. And all we have to do is learn to relax back into general awareness, learn to see what we are, and then it's just a story, just like the movie is just a story, right? So it's the exact same thing that's happening here. And like this paragraph says, the placement of your identity is more important than you may have previously thought. If I say, you know, of course we don't go around saying this, so we say it in an unconscious way, but if I say I am the mind, if I believe I am the mind, then as this paragraph says, I'm going to experience everything the mind makes up to prove it exists. And you know what? Nothing proves the mind exists better than pain.
Yeah.
Nothing. Worrying, you know, feeling guilty about something, feeling angry at something, longing for something, desiring something, which can also be a type of pain because you don't have it, right? All of that proves that the mind exists. And if I'm projecting my attention into that movie, then I'm gonna believe that I am that person, I am that mind, and I'm going to experience everything that it experiences. Okay, so the next paragraph. You see, the answer is this. The answer is to realize that it is not you. This is why self-inquiry works. As you realize the illusion is illusion and it is not you, you are not affected by its dreams because you have found yourself to be beyond them and before them and above them. Your mind or attention is anchored at a depth where they do not exist. Therefore, they do not touch you. And this literally happens. As we practice self-inquiry more, bringing our attention to the fact that we are awareness, the mind can actually continue its game, and we just don't get caught up in it. We just don't believe it. Oh, there goes the mind again. You know, we detach from the mind is what we do. We detach from the mind. Questioner. Is the teaching of purification helpful at all, such as the teachings in the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament at NTI 2 Timothy and NTI Revelation? And, of course, we've gone through NTI together, so we know that that teaching is the teaching of, you know, let it rise, let the guilt rise, let the fear rise, rest, accept, and trust. Don't get in the way. It will dissipate. So the question is, is all that necessary then? If I'm not the mind and I'm not suffering, then do I need to go through this letting the guilt rise and letting the fear rise? That's the question. And the answer is yes. All teachings are helpful as a part of the bridge, but the bridge is not the other shore. One must cross the bridge to the other shore and not remain on the bridge if he is to realize the beauty of the other shore. What actually happens, we start on ego shore. And on ego shore, we think we are the mind. And we think that what the mind is experiencing, I am experiencing. That's where we start. The bridge is starting to break us of that thinking. As we just watch the emotions, watch the stories that start to question, is that me? And we don't get in the way. We don't try. Because why else would you try and stop a feeling unless you thought it was your feeling and you didn't like it, right? You were uncomfortable. You wanted to escape it. You wanted to feel better. If you know it's just a four-dimensional movie, and a part of the four-dimensional movie is the emotional experience, and you're only the one watching it, you would allow the movie to go on and on and on. You would never get in the way of it. So a part of the bridge is learning to realize I'm awareness, I'm not this person, by not getting in the way of these emotions. As you allow fear to be, as you allow guilt to be, as you allow self-hatred to be, and you don't do anything to try and change it, you don't do anything to try to escape it, something in you intuitively begins to realize that you're awareness. That's what happens. And you begin to realize you aren't touched by those things. So that's the bridge. But then at some point he's saying you need to step off of the bridge by becoming more aware that you're awareness. And so then when these things start showing up, that's really when you're going to start practicing self-inquiry and noticing that's happening here, kind of in front of me, and I'm here behind that, safe, untouched, unaffected. And that's when you're beginning to step onto the other shore, the shore of abide in yourself, right? So questioner, how do we cross the bridge? Inner teacher, by realizing you are not the false I who experiences illusion. You are the true self who is constant and changeless and sees the passing of all experience from a deep abidance within the self. And again, it's always been helpful for me to think of the entire person experience as a four-dimensional movie. You know, I've been to Disney World, and at Disney World they have 3D movies, which are really a lot of fun. In addition to, is it 3D? No, I think they call them 4D, actually. But they're not as good as this 4D movie. But what happens at Disney World is they give you the 3D glasses, so you have the 3D movie. So like if Mickey Mouse reaches out, you know, it looks like it's reaching out in front of you. But if Mickey Mouse is on a train, your chair starts vibrating. And if a bunch of little mice run down the aisle, there's something down here where, you know, like the floor kind of moves, but it feels like there's mice running down the aisle. So in addition to the 3D glasses and the 3D movie at Disney World, you actually get this physical experience that goes along with the movie. Well, that's really what this bodysuit is. This bodysuit is allowing us to have a very, very good front row seat to a 4D movie of one character in a world script. Like I'm the only person that really gets to know the Regina character as intimately as I do, because I'm in the Regina 4D suit, and you're in the Priscilla 4D suit, and you're in the Dan 4D suit, but everything that happens is just a part of the movie. I'm not Regina, I'm the awareness that's watching this 4D movie from within this suit. So this is a movie suit. That's all it is. And so the emotions are a part of the movie. The thoughts are a part of the movie. The experiences are part of the movie. Everything the senses take in are a part of the movie. But it's all just a movie. That's all that it is. And that's what people call illusion, or they call it dream. But I think movie really drives it home, because we all know what a movie is. All right, so let's see. Realize, I'm going to read this paragraph again, how do we cross the bridge? By realizing you are not the false I who experiences illusion. You are the true self who is constant and changeless and sees the passing of all experience from a deep abidance within itself. Questioner, as sometimes happens when I am scribing, two words became mixed up in the sentence above. This is always corrected easily, and it happens when I am listening to one word that is ahead of the word I am writing. But in this case, the error created something I would like to look at with you, since I feel deep within myself that it would be helpful. So let me just tell you the experience of scribing, at least as it happens to me. The voice is always a few words ahead of me. So like the voice might be saying, by realizing you are not the, I'm starting to write by realizing. So I'm hearing are not the, and I'm writing by realizing what I just heard. So what's happening is I'm writing one word, and I'm listening to another one that's like three words ahead. So I'm always kind of following the voice. And so as a result of that, sometimes you make a mistake because you write what you're hearing instead of write. You know, so that's what happened here. But let's look at this mistake. I was hearing the word experience, which was to come later in the sentence, and I wrote this in error. You are the true self who is constant and changeless and experiences the passing of all experience. Now, just to show you guys the error real good, the sentence was, you are the true self who is constant and changeless and sees the passing of all experience. So I was supposed to be writing the word sees, but he was ahead of me, right? And he's saying the word experience. which comes later in the sentence, and I wrote experiences instead of seats. Do you understand the mistake? Okay, good. So you are the true self. This is the mistake. You are the true self who is constant and changeless and experiences the passing of all experience. That's all the further the mistaken sentence went, because you showed me that I had attracted the word experience into the sentence too early. You showed me why it was an error, and we corrected it, but only I saw this. Could we share in writing why this error was corrected? So again, the error, you are the true self who is constant and changeless and experiences the passing of all experience. The correct sentence, you are the true self who is constant and changeless and sees the passing of all experience from a deep abidance within itself. Okay, the inner teacher. Experience is never constant. Experience is that which changes. Therefore, experience is not real or eternal as you are. In the first writing of the sentence, it said that self experiences. This is not true. In order to experience, one would have to shift and change with experience. One would go up with happiness and down with depression, so to speak, and as example. Self does not do this. Self is constant and changeless. Self witnesses experience without changing and without being affected. Therefore, it is more correct to say that self sees or witnesses experience than it is to say that self experiences it. In fact, it is entirely incorrect to say that self experiences. Self does not experience, and to say I experience is to identify with the false identification. So again, we were looking over some questions back on, at the top of page 88. Who is this you that experiences pain, right? And I said that if you look through that very carefully, when you're experiencing some type of emotional pain, you'll actually see that it's the mind. You can't separate the mind from guilt or from fear or anything like that. And then if you start practicing self-inquiry on that, who am I, or who, what is it that is watching this, what is it that is observing this, you'll start to notice that your awareness, you'll start to notice that you have never changed. Awareness has never changed. Awareness is just watching, but awareness is not experiencing worry. Awareness is not experiencing guilt, right? So awareness is not experiencing. And that's what he's saying. Awareness does not experience. The mind experiences. And if you listen to Bentinho, you'll often hear Bentinho talk about beyond the experiencer. This is what he's talking about, right? You don't experience. The mind does. And if you project your attention into the mind, just like a projecting your attention into a movie, then it seems like you experience. But just like you're not actually experiencing the movie, you're not actually experiencing what the mind is. You're just the awareness, right? In a 4D movie suit. So, questioner. And this is how purification is helpful, isn't it? Inner teacher. Yes. In reality, purification is not necessary. Self is not affected, and so self cannot need purification. But one who is identified with the false I can begin to release attachment to false I thoughts, beliefs, and experiences. Because one who travels this road learns that he passes through the pain of purification and he emerges untouched. The untouched I that emerges is his true self. So like I said, if you're going through some intense fear experience and you choose just to watch it, just to rest, accept, and trust, you may shake. I mean, I've been through experiences where I laid in bed, curled up in the fetal position, shaking, you know, and just watched it and just watched it. And what happens when you go through those experiences is they do end. And what you start to notice is I'm the I that was there before, that was there when the experience was happening, and is still here. And you start to notice that I'm the I, I'm that, which really was not affected by that. And that's what you see when you go through purification. So there's a truth to the story that you have repressed energies and you need to release them and all of that. I mean, there's a semi-truth to that. But the real truth is that when you do that, you learn who you are. You learn that nothing affects you. You know, we have this crazy belief, until we don't, that too much fear is going to kill us. Right? We really do. And this is why we try to avoid fear. We think that too much fear will kill us. And it doesn't. If you just learn to allow the fear, allow the fear, allow the fear, all that happens is the fear dies and you're still here. That's what you discover. Right? Unaffected by the fear. Questioner. So nothing was ever purified, but false identity or false attachment was seen to be untrue. And the inner teacher says, yes. Questioner. What do you recommend for those of us who are your students if we are still attached to the mind enough to feel pain? Inner teacher. I recommend you recognize what pain is. It signifies that you are attached to mind. And I recommend that you deal with pain not by avoiding it, but by working on its root cause. Look at thoughts of pain and ask, who is having these thoughts? Feel the emotions of pain and ask, why have these emotions arisen? If it is physical pain that you feel, notice the physical pain is centered in the body and ask, what am I? Use the mantra that you are given to still the mind and return to the heart. Practice devotion out of remembrance for what you are. So what he's really saying is whenever you have an experience of pain, whether it's, now we're including physical pain, so whether it's the emotional pain that I was asking about or whether it's physical pain, inquire into it. Look at it. Notice the emotional pain comes from the mind. Notice physical pain is in the body. And then look to see what you are, right? And you will notice that you are not the one having pain. And then practice devotion out of remembrance of what you are. Start to fall in love with what you are. Start to fall in love with the fact that you are awareness rather than the mind or the body. And this is the recommendation. Every time there's pain, inquire into it. Look at it very deeply. Notice the difference between the pain mechanism, whether it's the mind or the body, and what you are. And eventually, of course, you just awaken to what you are. So that's the pain and purification message. Any questions about that? I think actually we should go on to the next message. We've already done grace of the guru, so we'll go on to full-time inquiry for self. I think it really supports the pain and purification message. The highest spiritual state is self-realization. Nothing else matters. The mind may try to tell you that there are outward symbols of this internal state. And if you cannot achieve the outward symbols, you are not realized. When the mind begins speaking in this way, inquire, who is the I that speaks? It is not the voice of self-realized. So, you know, all kinds of ideas come up about, if I'm self-realized, I should have a healthy body. If I'm self-realized, I should be able to perform miracles, heal others, see the future, all kinds of things. And this is saying when these ideas start showing up, again, look very, very carefully. When your mind starts telling you, if you were self-realized, your body would be healthy, ask, who is the I that is saying this? You're going to notice it's not awareness saying that. It's the mind. The mind is the one that's saying that the body should be healthy if you're self-realized. The mind is the one that's saying you should be able to heal or see the future if you're self-realized. Awareness isn't saying any of this. The next paragraph. Self-realization is all that matters. Because when the self is realized, nothing else affects it. Illness does not affect it. Poverty does not cause it harm. Loss of a friendship is no loss at all. The realized self is full. Full enough that it may allow the outward symbols to be what they may, and it does not lose its awareness of self. Therefore, it does not lose its knowledge and awareness of love. So imagine this. You finally, truly realize yourself as awareness. You realize this is just a movie suit. And all this is just a movie. Is there any reason to make any of it have to stop? Right? Like if you realize you're in the seat at a theater and you're watching a movie, and you guys hear this all the time, and even if a war starts on the movie, do you need to go up there and change what's happening on the screen if you're just sitting here in the movie seat watching? You know, if the person in the movie gets cancer and they're dying, do you need to go up there and heal their cancer if you're here in the seat watching the movie? When you realize who you are, you don't have to change the story. The reason you try and change the story is because you still think that's you. That's why you try to change the story. But when you realize yourself as eternal, unaffected awareness, the story can be whatever the story is. It doesn't matter. In fact, I'll read this paragraph again. Self-realization is all that matters, and knowing who you really are is the only thing that's important. Because when the self is realized, nothing else affects it. Illness does not affect it. Poverty does not cause it harm. Loss of a friendship is no loss at all. The realized self is full. Full enough that it may allow the outward symbols to be what they may, and it does not lose its awareness of self. Therefore, it does not lose its knowledge and awareness of love. I love this paragraph. Make all things about one thing. Make every thought and every experience an opportunity to be aware of self. Make this your only purpose, and self-realization shall certainly become your reward. You know, so imagine this. Imagine if we walk outside and we feel the cold, and we ask, what feels the cold? Oh, the body. What am I? Ah, awareness. We get in the car and we turn on the motor. What hears the motor in the car? Ah, the ears. What's aware of what the ears hear? Ah, awareness, I am. And we just did this all the time. If we did this all the time with every experience, it would not take long at all for us to really get settled in that realization that we're awareness. The problem is we don't do that all the time. The problem is we project our attention into the story, right? And we think we're the person. But if we could just stay in that self-inquiry, I mean, everything is an opportunity to notice. I mean, wiggle your toes, right? Feel your shoes. Now, what is aware of your toes feeling your shoes? See? I mean, imagine if you did that with everything. You become very, you know, so the only problem is we don't. But again, I'll read this paragraph. Make all things about one thing. Make every thought and every experience an opportunity to be aware of self. Make this your only purpose, and self-realization shall certainly become your reward. Let nothing distract you from this one goal. Hold always to your practice. Seek the awareness of self in all times and in all circumstances. Let finding self be the only game you play. So So again, before I continue, let's just kind of tie this back to the pain and purification message. So let's imagine that for some reason I tell a lie. I get scared. Somebody asks me a question. I get scared of what they're going to think of me if I tell the truth, so I tell a lie, right? And then I start feeling really guilty, okay? I start feeling really guilty. Now remember, this is all a movie, and the reason I'm experiencing it is because my attention is projected into it. Now, I start to, wait a minute. What feels this guilt? What is feeling this guilt? And I really look, and I notice it's really coming from the mind. It's really coming from the mind. Even though I feel it in the chest, I can see that it's really coming from the mind. And then I ask, what is looking at this? What is looking at this guilt? And I can shift into awareness right there. See, that's the example of the pain and purification message. You know, and it's the same thing this is saying. Everything can be used to realize the self, even your pain. And we've done that before in here, where we pinched our fingers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets more intense.
Everything can be used. Okay, next is kind of a little poem. So let's read this. Seek self before you go to sleep at night. Let the search for self be the first thought when you awaken. Inquire for the self as you eat your meals. Be aware of the heart as your hands are working. As you recline, contemplate the self. As you walk, carry your heart with you. Never let your attention stray from your love of self or your inquiry of it. Let this be your one purpose and live life fully. Ask only for self. An awareness of self shall be given. So I think those two messages really support each other very, very well. We really don't have much. In fact, it's extremely possible that next week will be our last week, unless something happens that we get into a long discussion or something. But this week, it might be good if we just do our very best at trying to practice inquiry with everything. When we're doing the dishes, when we're taking a shower, when we're, you know, watching. In fact, I love to practice inquiry. This is very elementary, but I love to, when I'm in a movie, and I am watching a movie and I'm all in it, I like to take a moment to remember, wait a minute, who's watching this movie? I like to pull myself out of the movie. Because I feel like pulling myself out of the movie and recognizing that I'm just in the audience watching is kind of like practicing this, right?
I do that too much. Because you get so engrossed, you lose yourself.
Yes.
And when I become aware of that, and I always say, here I am, I'm right here. Then I get lost again.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're going to do all week long when we practice this. But why don't we try really using everything? Like we just use wiggling our toes as an opportunity. You know, if you're doing dishes and you're putting your hand in the warm water, you know, who sees the warmth on these hands? I mean, you know, it's an inner scene, but who sees these hands feeling this warm water? And just really try focusing on awareness this week by just inquiring into every experience that we remember to inquire into, and let's see what happens. I think that will be a lot of fun. Okay? All right.